Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, the one and only podcast in the world to bring you stories that the hostess has never heard before we go on the air, that the guests don't know they're going to tell, and we know that you're here just because of that sheer level of uncertainty, which brings with it some excitement. So today, I'm really excited because I have a guest for you from the giant burg of Greenville, South Carolina. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Hey, glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. So tell our listeners more about you. Like, you know, where do you actually work? How long have you been in and around real estate? Any tiny bits of background they should know?
Okay, cool. So I've been in real estate for 3 years, but I tell people it feels like 20 because both of my parents are real estate agents. So I grew up in a real estate household. So I've been doing it as an individual agent for 3 years in the Greenville and Anderson area of South Carolina. Dabble in Spartanburg too. So if you're in the upstate, like I'm there, I serve it. Got started 3 years ago, made my way over to RE/MAX about a year and a half ago. Absolutely love it. It's been great for me. Sold right at 30 houses in my first full year with RE/MAX. So it's been a good journey, but that's, I mean, the very short abbreviated version of how I've gotten where I am.
And for the record, listeners, you should know that while 3 years does not sound like a big deal, I'll remind you that in real estate, our attrition level is ridiculously high because 85% of realtors quit within the first 2 years. So welcome to the top 15%, Bob. And also, you should know that the average realtor sells 8 houses a year. And so you are almost quadrupling the average production level, and you're just at year three, starting your really big growth up the learning curve at this point.
Yeah, so it feels good.
It should feel good. It means you can support your wife and buy your house and pay your mortgage on time, too.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, as a realtor, we appreciate people who pay the mortgages on time.
Yeah.
We get it. Some of y'all have trouble, but you should call your realtor, actually, when those moments hit, because we often know some scoop to help get you out of those tight pinches that you might not know. So swallow your pride and call your realtor if things are sideways. But frankly, if you have the cash and you're paying for your iPhone, would you please pay your mortgage first? But anyway, that's just a little side note for you there. So Bob, in 3 years in real estate, it's probably been shocking to you what you've already seen that you did not anticipate. And of course, our podcast is built on the things that HGTV is never, ever in a million zillion years going to put on a television broadcast.
Right.
So with that being said, our ground rules are pretty simple. Don't name any real names if there's a guilty party involved. And the world knows that I am a pretty salty heifer, but I don't use the F word GDs or see you next Tuesday. So that's where I draw the line. But in general, we pretty much let it roll here. So Bob, what'd you see in real estate that was shocking to you?
So there's not really a guilty party in this. It's a client that I absolutely love.
There's always a guilty party.
Well, with this particular story, there's not, but it's absolutely crazy. Like, my client's kind of a little bit out there, and I love her to death. Her name's Cammie. She said I could use her name when I came to talk to you.
Hey, Cammie, welcome to the show.
So,
third party.
About a year ago, I was helping Cammie and her husband, Rob, find a house. We started the home search. They were moving up from Florida to South Carolina. The Miami area is where they were moving from. And when they were moving up, she didn't tell me any of her, like, you know, religious background, superstitions, anything like that. So we start looking. We look at the first house. We go to the second house. We're in this new build community. She's like, I love the house. I think that we could live here. We're going to go think about it, and then I'll give you a call. I say, great. I'm like, I would love to sell a house on the second showing. That'd be fantastic. Well, they go to the store. She gives me a call and she's like, that's not the house. And I'm like, why? And she goes, well, we were on the way to the car and there was a dead dragonfly on the ground.
Oh.
And I was like, there was a dead dragonfly. And she goes, yep, can't buy the house. And I was like, what do you mean you can't buy the
house? Death, man. She saw death in that house.
No, it was because it was a dragonfly.
Oh.
So with her beliefs, there was that dragonflies were like her ancestors or her parents, like giving her advice. So she saw the dead dragonfly. She's like, can't make an offer on that house. And I was like, so what is it going to take to find a house for you to buy? And she's like, I need to see a dragonfly. Like, I need a sign. And I'm thinking to myself, there's
no way. Where can I buy
no
a dragonfly? Do the bait shop sell those?
No, they don't. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, there is no way on God's green earth that I find a damn dragonfly somewhere. I'm like, this isn't going to happen. So we start looking at house after house after house. And of course, it's in the upstate of South Carolina. You're like in the almost in the mountains. There's no dragonflies. Like, they like humidity. They're down in, like, you know, that's why she saw them in Florida. They're there. They're on the coastline. You don't see a lot of them up on the, you know, the hills of South Carolina. So I'm like, we're not going to see a dragonfly. This is ridiculous. About the 10th house that we walked into, we got out the car and she's like, this is the one. I feel like this is the one. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, there has to be a dragonfly. Like if she's going to say this about this house and there's not a dragonfly, I'm going to lose my mind. So we go through the house. She's loving everything about it. We open up the sunroom at the back of the home, and I'm not kidding, the owner had two glass-blown dragonflies sitting on the little table that they had in that sunroom. And at that moment, she was like, I'm buying this house. And I swear to you, I thought I was going to lose my mind, because I was like, how in the world is there glass dragonflies? Who has that?
The Lord had a plan.
But it blew my mind.
Did the homeowner leave the glass dragonflies for her? Because I would have asked for them in the personal property.
I wasn't even thinking that way. I was like, there's got to be a real live dragonfly. I wasn't even thinking like, oh, we can put some sort of prop. If I was thinking that way, I'd have had dragonflies in every single house. I'd have been calling every listing agent saying,
look, I got some inside scoop for you here.
I was like, you got to plant one. I didn't even think about that. But that did it for her. And she was happy enough with that she was able to put in an offer. And they ended up getting that house. And now they've pretty much remodeled the whole thing. But it was insane.
See, and you would never have guessed that a dead dragonfly would lead you to that really cool spot.
Exactly.
But it's more proof, though, that as a professional realtor, you start to figure out that the right house makes itself appear. And people think that that sounds really mushy-gushy. And I know that it's particularly strange for my listeners to hear that coming from, you know, like a Republican like myself. But it's so funny that houses talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it with buyers and with sellers. You walk in the door and some houses say, don't buy me. And some houses, you just watch your clients, their eyes start to sparkle.
Yeah.
And that's what the glass dragonflies were. It was the reason that was there was because the first house wasn't the right house.
Right. I mean, and it's not the sort of thing you could even script. Like, I would have never thought that that's how we would have come upon the house that she was going to buy. But when we saw those dragonflies, she was like, this is absolutely the one. And I mean, in all truth, it was the best house. So, I mean, she did find the best house for them. And I've been over there a couple times since they moved in, and they've done wonderful things to that house, and they've really made it their own. But when I got into the business, you know, I think my mindset towards everything was, oh, we're going to find everything based on logic, because I'm not a very emotional person. I was like, oh, you know, I didn't understand how emotional people got about homes.
It's crazy. Expect it.
So for her to go to like a spiritual level with her house, and like that was a sign she had to have, or she wasn't going to buy a house. Like that was actually her reservation. She told me later that why she didn't buy the first house that they liked was because there wasn't a dragonfly. And then when she saw a dead dragonfly, it just solidified her decision not to buy it, which is, I mean, it's wild when you really think beyond even an emotional standpoint on homes, like a spiritual standpoint, to where people go there.
Did you think about that? I mean, it's the old Zig Ziglar, I think it was his sales training that said people don't buy on, they don't buy on logic, they buy on emotion. I don't know what the quote is because I don't memorize quotes, but it's in that vein. And it's hard to rationalize when you're a realtor who looked at the page and you're like, well, that's your budget. And this is the bedrooms and the bathrooms. And it's everything you said you wanted. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you pulling the trigger on it? And they're just not there, and we can't push them into it. In fact, that's where you know there's a difference between the average realtor and the professional realtor. Mm-hmm. The average realtor is trying very hard to push that buyer to get over the dead dragonfly. Come on, Cammy, get over it. Buy the house. It's perfect. You said you wanted it. Get it. You'll lose it tonight. Somebody slept on it last night, and they used those old lines. But the professional realtor said, all right. You asked her why. She told you why, and you said, all right, let's keep going. Because you understood that it was her needs that mattered more than yours.
Right.
And that's a huge differentiator. And it's probably why you're selling at a fast clip versus your competitors who can't figure out why the phone doesn't ring.
I don't think you're going to be successful at all if you try and push people into a decision. I mean, it's not the way we work. If I feel like I'm being pushed into something, I'm not going to buy from that person. I actually just changed phone carriers because one phone carrier was pushy, pushy, pushy on me getting a new phone. And then I went over to a different phone carrier, and the sales rep was like, okay, well, whenever you're ready to make a decision, here's my card.
So you can name names. Who did you go to?
So I'm leaving AT&T, going to Verizon.
My husband works for AT&T. Steve never listens to my podcast, though, so I think I'm safe. I'm at Verizon, too, and that drives him crazy that we're a mixed household on phones. But that is a really good point, though. So have you gone back to this Verizon gentleman and told him he ought to get his real estate license and come work for you?
That might not be a bad idea.
Wonderful sales skills are so hard to teach, but it's easy to teach the schematics of real estate.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it comes naturally to some people. Some people are natural salespeople, and other people try and employ all the things that they learn, and the things you learn are not good.
Well, it depends on who you learn.
That is true.
Right. Because, you know, great realtors ask questions. Let's just boil that down to great sales people, great realtors. They ask lots of questions.
Right. And if you're learning from Lee Brown, you're doing something
there
right.
There you go. See, that's the plug I wanted, Bob. All right. So you also mentioned that you had previously been at a real estate company. Your first real estate landing was somewhere you wish you had not landed, until I was the one that reminded you that you have to land in bad places sometimes so you recognize the good places. But for our listeners out there who are consumers, who think about calling a brand and then picking up any random agent, what's the advice you would give them before they call that office? What questions should they ask if they are calling a brand?
So if they're calling a brand, the first question I would have is, how good is your agent retention? Do you keep your agents or do they go to other companies? Because if they can't keep their agents, then there's a number of things that they're not doing right.
I've never thought about telling a consumer to ask that. That's freaking smart.
Yeah. I mean, because I know where I started, which was not as good as where I am now, where I started, agents would come and go within the first year and a half, whether they were going out of the business or they were making a move to a brokerage that offered them a different perspective.
Okay. So an agent who has landed in a spot where they feel like it's not the best place, but we already discussed this offline. Realtors have an amazing amount of inertia. They will stick it out in the worst possible scenario just because they can't stand the idea of moving. You went through a move. What's the best advice you would give to realtors who think they should move and are scared?
Well, if you're not going up where you're at, like if your sales aren't increasing, if your business isn't growing where you're at, you really have nothing to lose. My biggest piece of advice would be just to pull the trigger, because if you're unhappy where you're at, if you're not growing your business where you're at, odds are it's not going to change. You're going to stay in this, you know, period of unhappiness and slow development of your business. Whereas if you move, it can jumpstart you. Because for me, when I changed scenery, it changed my perspective. It gave me more energy. I felt like I had the opportunity to earn more. And that kind of jumpstarted my career. I really wasn't doing anything more than average where I was when I started. And then when I moved, it gave me that jolt of energy, that kind of desire to succeed again that I kind of lost from being in a bad situation for a year and a half.
And what I want y'all to hear about what he just said, he doesn't mention that he jumped companies strictly for commission dollars. And there's an assumption that realtors do everything for the dollars. But you notice that what he said twice is that the move gave him energy. And that's what leads you to be more profitable in the business. And in fact, if you're a consumer listening to this, y'all know the difference. When you've hired a listing agent, you pretty much go with the one who has the most positive energy about the property you're trying to sell. And you know that the commission dollars will work themselves out, because you want somebody who has that bright, shiny outlook, because it's your biggest financial instrument in most scenarios. And the right realtor is excited about that. And realtors, you should feel that way about your broker too.
100%.
Okay. So Bob, if they're looking for anybody in South Carolina and they forgot where you're located, it's okay, because we know you have people. How can people find you on the interwebs?
So the easiest way to find me, and probably where you're going to get the most content, is going to be on Facebook. And my business page is at Better Call Bob Tompkins. So if you go at Better Call Bob Tompkins, you're going to find my business page. That's Tompkins. There's no H in my last name.
That would be Thompkins, wouldn't it?
It would. That's what I tell people. But for some reason, people think Thompson.
That's an entirely different name than Tompkins. Come on, people. Name.
Exactly.
Get back to your spelling and grammar. Come on now. We're Southern and we can still do it the right way.
100%. But yeah, if you find me on Facebook, you're going to see my content the way I market homes. So that's probably the best way to find me.
And then you could probably also check out some of the testimonials from past clients and customers, because that is one thing a very successful professional realtor is always glad to provide to you, is somebody who can verify whatever's in our marketing materials. Now, of course, we know y'all didn't write any of that down because you're listening to a podcast, and that's cool. So it's all of Bob's contact information will be in the show notes for this episode, so you can look at it anytime. If you are a consumer needing a professional realtor in South Carolina, give him a shout. If you are a realtor who wants to know more about these really cool viral videos that you're going to find when you start to follow Bob, you should reach out to him as well. And we appreciate you for coming on the podcast and sharing your story.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed being here.
All right, people, if you're a broker, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular old realtor, buyer, or seller of real estate, and you've got a story to tell and you think it's better than dead dragonflies, you should totally hit me up at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks, be featured in a future episode of the podcast. In the meantime, subscribe for more. Give us 5 stars if you're feeling led so by the Lord, and we will see you next time. If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.